All right, folks, welcome to the March 1st Tuesday Coffee Chat on the second Tuesday of the month. I am still a tax slave here in the holler where 100% of what I earn is going to taxes and fees, and it's March, and that's really fucktarded in my opinion. So today I showed you a way on a video to avoid paying taxes on some of the value you bring, and you can check that out. I'm on today with John Willis from Special Operations Equipment, Jack Spierko of the Survival Podcast. John, what's new at the compound?
They doubled our property taxes.
Oh, I saw that. That was a drama.
The entire county.
It's Trump's fault. It's all Trump's fault.
It is absolutely bizarre. Yeah, there's people like, we're going to go to the tax assessor's house and hang him. Like, there was a lot of that. Like, he removed all his social media. It's not my fault. They did an emergency live thing from the courthouse saying you can still petition. It's actually the state. The state hasn't revalued property taxes. It's the entire state. Yet it seems to be Benton County and the next county over, or immediately. That's what people are saying.
You do live in a place where people called revenuers tend to go into the woods and not come out.
Yeah, yeah.
It has happened in the past, and you know.
Yeah, people were literally posting his address and said, "Hey, make sure you go to this address and not the other one, because that's my mom next door. Don't burn my mom's house down."
Wow.
In fact, don't burn his house down in a way that burns my mom's house down.
Yeah.
Why burn the house down?
Yeah. So John's Camden group is the best place to go if you want to see some entertaining panic people.
If you're having a bad day and you want to feel good about your life, it is the Jerry Springer.
It is. Okay, Jack.
Oh, Lord.
How's the compound?
The compound's good, man.
How's the Jack?
Jack's recovering. This flu this year is no freaking joke. I haven't had the flu since 96. Just didn't want to do anything. Just felt like crap. It wasn't awful or anything. It was after it all ended, like when you start to feel better and you're like, okay, I'm on the mend. And then it was just like no energy, picking something other weighed 30 pounds. Like, it's not like you couldn't do it. It just felt like I weighed 70. It was just really weird. Like, yesterday was my first really decent day, and it still wasn't perfect. By the time I was done broadcasting yesterday, I sounded really, really hoarse. But it's just a weird, weird flu. But, yeah, it is what it is. Like, I ain't dead, so I'm all right.
Would you reevaluate taking the flu shot?
I would reevaluate it to come to the same decision of fuck no.
Exactly.
The flu, like I said, the last time I had the flu was 1996. And I was a contractor for Lockheed Martin at the time. And the guy I reported to at Lockheed came up to me and he's like, "Hey man, they have free flu shots down at the clinic. So even though you're just a contractor, all you do is just walk in there and give them your ID and they'll give you a free flu shot." I'm like, "Oh, okay. That makes sense." And 3 weeks later I had the worst flu I've ever had in my life. And I'm like, no more flu shots.
We had a friend. He was an alumni guy from TAC Response, happened to be in town for a couple of weeks, doctor. And he's like, "Hey, when's the last time you had a tetanus? Let me vaccinate you for tetanus, flu shot, blah, blah, blah." And I said, "You know, I've never had a flu shot. Everybody says that you get sick after taking it. Everybody says the worst sickness they've ever had was after taking a flu." And he's like, "No, that's false science,
sure.
Dead virus, chicken egg." And I took that vax, man. I was messed up for like 3 weeks. The sickest I've ever been in my entire life after I took a flu shot.
I don't think it gives you the flu directly, because
I don't know what it gave me.
What I think it does is it so fucks your immune system that if you get exposed to the flu, you get it worse. It's the exact opposite of what it's supposed to do. Like, it just train wrecks your immune system is what it seems like to me. Like, there are vaccines, and people get very mad at me for saying this, that seem to be very effective. I haven't seen a child with chicken pox for 30 years. So I'll say, okay, that seems like it works. The flu vaccine is highly ineffective. It's their best guess every year at what clave to go after. So even that's like, you know, 60% of the time, they don't even get the right guess. And then what do I get out of a flu shot? I get sick anyway, so I'm not doing it. Like, I'm not one of these all or nothing on vaccines, but flu shot, you can shove it up your ass. The freaking COVID shot, you can shove that up your ass. Like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
And then, like, the guy with tetanus to me saved millions of lives. I mean, more people died in World War One of tetanus than bullets, especially Americans. But you can't get a tetanus shot.
No, it's mixed now.
Right? It has to be a DTP. And then what do they tell you? Well, you get a tetanus shot if you have a puncture wound. Well, if you get a puncture wound and then you get a tetanus shot, the time doesn't work. It doesn't work. Like, it takes your body like 3 weeks to develop the antibodies, but it only takes you like a week to get tetanus. Now, any doctor will tell you that, and then they'll tell you to do it anyway. And it's just, I'm sorry, my faith in Western medicine is dog shit at this point.
Yeah, the doctors say if you're on a homestead, like, keep up on your tetanus shot every 7 or 8 years, I think it is, that they say.
Yeah, can you give me a tetanus shot then, doc? No? Okay, no. Then I'm not doing it, right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, hopefully that will change. That would be nice.
And tetanus is supposed to be in the soil. It's not on rusty metal. They used to tell you 10 years, every 10 years, because as a kid, you know, you're always getting stitches. And it was every 10 years. And then it's 5, and now it seems to be 3. I did say the combination tetanus on a live a couple months ago, and a bunch of people said, no, you can, in fact, get a tetanus vaccination. I don't know where you would go about getting that. I think
somebody
you probably knew a doctor.
Yeah, somebody has it somewhere. This guy says both his kids actually got chickenpox after getting the vax. Nothing's 100%. All I'm saying is, when I was a kid, everybody got the chickenpox. I do think it's fucking us, though. Did the kids get vaccinated? Like, all of us that had chickenpox when we were kids, what we have now is, what is that shit?
It's shingles.
Shingles, right? Like, it's an epidemic now. And it never was. It was a rare thing that some people got. And I can't prove this, but my theory is that when we were walking around exposed to snot slingers with chicken pox and had our immunity, it was like a natural immunity booster. And that kept it from coming back as the shingles for most people. And then when we started vaccinating all the snot slingers and you don't get exposed to it secondarily anymore, now you have it come back in your 50s, 60s, 70s as shingles. My wife's had shingles like 3 times. I never have, fortunately.
But I get it every 2 years.
Yeah.
They used to have chicken pox parties. Every time some kid on the street had chicken pox, they would bring all the kids together to play so that the kids just got it and got out of the way.
I was in Catholic school, and literally when kids started getting chicken pox, until they got really like miserable, they kept them in class so that we would all get it. So instead of having a party, they just did it at school. They're like, oh, Billy's got chicken pox. Is your fever's not that high yet? Okay, Billy, stay to the end of the day and then stay home. Everybody go talk to Billy. Like, I mean, literally, that was Catholic school in, what, like 1981?
Well, it's funny because being raised in that approach, then the flu vaccine makes no sense. You're like, I just need to be exposed to the things so that my body knows what to program itself not to react to, right?
Yeah, I thought shingles was for – I thought it was adults getting shingles – typically did not have chicken pox as a child. I thought that's kind of how that went.
No.
I had them at 16.
Latent virus thing.
I had pox at 16. My first case of shingles ever was 18. I didn't have them again until I had this, like, every 2 years I'd get poison ivy really bad. And it turns out it wasn't poison ivy.
Oh.
But it was like, finally I saw a doctor and he's like, that's not poison ivy. I was like, oh, okay. I've just been like, treating it with a topical and going on with my life. But yeah,
I really have lost faith in modern medicine. So Dorothy came down with it, but she had it on two sides of her body, which, you know, you don't, doesn't do that.
That can't happen. It doesn't cross.
It doesn't happen.
And you can only have it once as an adult and then you're good.
Yeah. Yeah. But the truth is it happens like 5% of the time it presents on both sides of the body. So then a doctor's like, well, see, 95% of the time it doesn't, but bro, like that's,
it doesn't negate the other 5.
Statistics, and that's why you went to medical school. I like, you know, or like when my wife was on a bunch of medication for a thing called trigeminal neuralgia before she had surgery for it. The doctors would say, but all these side effects. We had a neurologist who was saying it's not trigeminal neuralgia; it's actually MS, which made no sense at all. And I'm like, but when she has to take all the medication, she has the symptoms, and then when she stops taking the medication because she's in remission. She doesn't have the same. Well, the incidences are low, and all the drugs she was on had incidences of like 1 to 2% side effects. But when you put 4 of them together, guess what? I mean, like, this is not something a redneck duck farmer should have to explain to an MD, but that's why I don't trust them, because these are the most basic common sense things that our grandparents taught us, and they've just thrown it all out.
Well, most MDs now are just, they're drug pushers. I mean, they're pharmaceutical pushers.
I believe that. Ken Berry explained it at one of our workshops one time, yep, that you just get the bill more the more drugs you put the patient on.
Three is like, the magic number to get 100%.
Exactly, it was three. Once you have them on three drugs, the billing code goes to a different code. And then just for seeing the person walk into your office, writing down some notes and sending them back out, the insurance company pays you more money.
A bunch of numbers have been floating around the last couple of years about vaccination rate in children. If the doctor has a certain percentage, I think it was 75%, he gets an enormous bonus for vaccinating the kids on schedule.
Yep. Yep. And then that, you know, why would your doctor push the drug unless he really thought it was good for your baby? I don't know, because he wants to buy a new fucking BMW every year. That's what it feels like, guys. And I mean, I know I have doctors in my audience, and I know they get upset when I talk like this, but you motherfuckers did it to yourselves. You did this. You caused this, especially the way you all behaved during COVID. That was any semblance of respect for medicine that I had is gone. And how do you say it? Couch that with, like, if I get hit by a car and I have a yield sign into my spleen, I do want a surgeon to take it out. Like,
well, the other thing is you have doctors in your audience who fought back during
COVID. Some. Most didn't.
Like, I know some of them.
Most
didn't. They were like, nope, this is, like, here is your prescription for ivermectin and all of those things. Yeah.
Hydroxychloroquine. Well, there's all kinds of shit coming out about ivermectin being anti-cancer now, so.
And flambendazole. Flambendazole is the other one, something like that.
Yeah.
And the combination of the two is the powerhouse, it seems. I saw something with RFK this morning, who knows who made it, saying that they were going to stop the push on the flu vaccine. Because it said it just simply doesn't work.
Yeah, that pissed off some liberals right there.
Well, look how many are at. They're squealing over fluoride. How am I going to get my fluoride in my water?
Add it if you really want it. It's not that hard. So growing up in an area without fluoride, they had you swish stuff at the dentist.
That's same here. Same here. They did it at school.
That bitey thing where you're like, this tastes like cranberries. Ooh, yeah.
And the little pink pill to show all the plaque on your teeth. They did that. Yeah. They did that at the schools.
Yeah.
And they vaccinated us at schools too. We lived on a military base for well up until like the sixth grade. But I do remember all the classes. They'd sit you out at the, at the lunch tables, and they'd come around and give everybody a shot. I don't even know what shots we got.
I remember going to the pediatrician to get a vaccine. What I remember them doing in school was mass tuberculosis testing.
Oh, yeah.
They'd come through and poke everybody in the forearm, and then like a week later they'd come back and look at it and go, oh, okay, you're not going to die.
What's the big crater people have in their arms? I had just missed that. I know seeing that on some of the older people.
I missed mine, but then the military does it anyway. I don't know if they still do, but when I was in, and it was not done the way old school with where they jab you with a bunch of shit or cut you with glass or whatever. It was just one of the air gun things, but it does leave a different mark. Like all the other air, like you get five air guns in about 3 seconds when you in process, you roll your sleeves up, you step up, you got two guys, ba-bam. Then you step forward, two guys, ba-bam. And then one more, ba-bam in the one arm. And the one that's a solo vaccine was smallpox all by itself. And it left a crater in your arm, even though it was done differently.
Hmm.
Yeah. Beth Emily says, yep, I still have a crater in my arm. Yeah, I miss that too, John. My sister has one. I don't.
My grandmother had one. It looked like the size of a nickel.
Yeah.
Like in her back, not her arm. It was weird. Some people, they did it like right back on their shoulder blade.
Well, I mean, since we're on this topic, have you guys made your toilet paper forts to protect yourself from the measles yet?
No.
I don't see what's the correlation.
Because during COVID, people went out and bought toilet paper, and the joke was that they made a toilet paper fort.
No, this year we're making egg forts.
Oh, that's true.
Egg forts.
Okay, so are we talking about the young girl that passed and they said she had measles, but they had just vaccinated her with a live vaccine, and she died the following day? She died the following day, And everybody says, well, of course she tested positive. You guys gave her a live vaccine.
She had RSV and pneumonia, and then they vaccinated her for RSV and MMR while she was sick. Now, you don't...
It's the fault of the unvaccinated.
You don't do this. You do not vaccinate a person while they're sick if you have any fucking brains. I mean, I literally took my cat to the vet, and he was sick, and he was behind on his vaccinations, and the vet's like, no, yeah, we won't do that until he's better. We don't want to give a vaccine to somebody that's a cat that has a virus, right? So a vet knows not to do this, and this freaking hospital is, and then most of these people are Mennonite, and they're in this little settlement down in one little place in Texas, and they keep talking. They're doing exactly what they did during COVID. If you don't live in Texas, you think that we're all hiding in toilet paper forts, that everybody's worried about measles. It's everywhere. There's like 200 cases. There's 29 million fucking people in Texas. No one gives two shits. And I've been seeing, I don't know if you guys have seen this. Some of these articles they're putting out now on it, they have AI-generated images of measles, and it looks you guys talk. I'll find it. It's so fucking retarded.
It's really fake. The other thing that's going on, John, is people are flying on planes into the country, and there's a case on the flight that did not present. And the headline is, you know, person from Mexico imports highly infectious deadly disease.
Yeah.
That's the headline. Like, but everybody's going to die because they were on an airplane with somebody who got the measles while in flight. And it's a 0.1 death rate, I believe, which is pretty low. And then they couch, I know I've seen that. They couch it with, but it's highly infectious. And then all of the people who are anti-vaxxers are like, this is because of the unvaccinated and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, okay, so the unvaccinated person you're talking about came out of Mexico. So they're not a U.S. citizen. They were on a flight. And if you're vaccinated against the measles, why are you even worried? You know? That's the picture. This is what measles looks like. Not like the Brady Bunch show where Bobby got it and all had to stay home and play games.
What the fuck even is that supposed to be? I mean, it's like... I don't even think if you told AI to make an image of the measles, it would do that. I think
That looks like one of those frogs that carries its tadpoles on its back inside the pores.
It does look like something's living in there or something, doesn't it? Like,
have you seen people that need organ transplants, if they've not been vaccinated, they're making them catch up and take all the vaccinations before they'll let them have the transplant? And there was a girl about 6 months ago that they mass vaxxed. They gave her, I believe it was the COVID, and then two or three boosters all at once, and her whole entire body melted down. Like, she was bleeding out of her joints, bleeding out of her eyes. That went on for 6 weeks, probably. Her sister was there.
Oh, yeah.
Doing daily reports.
It all kinds of, like, bruising on her face.
Yeah.
And they're like, we have nothing to do with this. This has nothing to do with – okay, so she was sick, but she wasn't fucked up. You put her in your hospital. You made her take a vaccine. Within hours of giving her a vaccine, she looks like this. And this is why – every word they say about vaccine hesitancy and you need to get vaccine and it's limited. This is why you can all go fuck yourself that are saying that. When somebody does have a vaccine reaction, you motherfuckers deny it. You deny treating them. You don't do anything about it. And that, like, I think they actually want this reaction, because if you didn't want this reaction, you'd say, this is very rare, but we're going to fix it. We're going to provide 100% care. We're going to do everything we need to do. But no, what do? They actually, like, they badmouth the person who has the reaction and make stupid statements like it's in their head or it's unrelated or whatever. Or you have women that have taken their kid that was perfectly normal, you know, 3 or 4 years old, vaccine right in front of them. Next thing you know, the kid's autistic, and the doctor's telling the mother to her face, your child was born this way.
Yeah, RFK was talking about the rate of vaccination versus SIDS, how many of those SIDS children that died within a 24-hour period had just been vaxxed. And I don't remember what the number was, but it was enormous. It was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
We should probably go.
You know, if they would just be like, you know, this is rare and whatever, they would be way more credible.
Do you have any strikes right now? I'm at zero strikes. We had
zero, and I took re-education.
No, we had two over having Callie on.
Yeah, Callie took you down.
Yeah, I did re-education, so I'm completely a clean slate. I'm sure I won't be by the end of the day.
Yeah. I can pull it off the channel if you want.
Re-education.
It's not fun when John's in YouTube jail. I'm just saying.
Yeah, whatever.
We got to have Tim Riley was here last Wednesday and then all day Friday, and we record both those days. And Friday when I came out, I'm like, oh, man, I didn't get to say bye to Tim. And I walk out, and his truck's still here in the dark. Tim, where are you? And he's still over there. He'd pruned all the trees, mulched them up. Everything looks just badass out there.
That's great. It's also the perfect time of year to prune the trees. I had somebody come out and teach me how to prune because I've always just been Edward Scissorhands. And I was like, okay, Carrie, I need you to show me what I'm doing because I actually want these trees to produce someday. And they're 2 years old now. So
something you usually don't see when you're pruning trees, I never had before, is Tim will wipe the saw and the cutters off with alcohol between each tree. So if you have a fungus or anything on them, and man, I've watched tons of pruning stuff that I've never heard anybody say that.
I do that. I don't use alcohol though. I have a little torch, like a little kitchen torch.
Nice.
And I just hit the pruners when I go from one to the next.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, I got fire blight last year, and I had to do that between every cut. Double alcohol, wipe it with a rag, and then the next branch. So.
I think that's overdoing it, because if the tree has it, the tree has it.
Yeah, that's not what Ferguson told me. I just did what Ferguson told me.
Oh, okay.
Then I made lactobacillus and sprayed everything with lactobacillus spray, and we survived. Well, one tree died. One tree did.
What got blight? Apples?
Everything.
Everything.
We had a cicada year last year, and my trees were young, and I've never had a lot of damage from cicadas, but they injured the trees.
Yeah.
And then one pear tree got fire blight, and it was when I was like basically commuting to California. So I get back from a trip, and I look around, and I'm like, oh, no. Are they all going to die? And there's like cadmium jelly on there and all of that. So he was like, you'll be fine. And Jesse, it took me like 3 days. I don't even have that many trees. It took me 3 days because it's like every cut.
Jesse, all my trees are budding and blooming, and we cut 50% off of some of those trees just because if they do bear fruit, you're going to snap them under that kind of weight. And we want a lot of air. They say something I've heard many times is if you take a cat by the tail and throw it through your tree and it can reach out and grab the branches, you've not pruned it enough. You want that opened up. You want sunlight. You want air to all of that.
Yeah. And the thing I kept reading about it, but didn't quite get it till it was shown to me is if a branch is coming off at a 90 degree angle, that's strong. If it's a small angle, like sort of like that, you want, that'll become weak over time and peel off.
Yeah.
So that was the part I had always been like, where do I cut? Where do I cut it? So we ended up cutting a lot more than I would have in the past.
Just growing animals from now on. I'm tired of fucking taking diet. It's going to be 119 degrees in the summer again. It's not going to rain for 3 months again. I'm still going to have 6 inches of soil before rock again. You know what? Ducks do just fine. Chickens do just fine. Other animals do just fine. Gooses do just fine. Oh, I've got goose activity right now. I got a goose trying to go broody. Hopefully I'll get gooses this year. Except the male's now a total dick.
So you're going to move the males away?
No. So far there's no violence. There's no inter-poultry violence. He just stands outside of the coop all day long while she's in there. And he hisses at everybody, but he doesn't really go off. And I have two males, so I have an unmated male, and he hangs out with the ducks all day
long.
He's
like, I am out.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to do this. And I've tempered him. I go in there with him. He hisses at me, and I grab him by the neck, and I pick him up.
You can grab him so easy.
I pet him and shit, and it's like being humiliated. It's like, you know, when, like, your older sibling, like, goes, stop hitting yourself? It's kind of like that. You're just petting him, and you're going, how you doing? And he bites you, and you're like, oh, is that – you're going to do that? Bite harder. And he's like, stupid beak doesn't kill. And like, and so he's completely deflated now. And my only concern has been my baby ducks that you were here for, Nicole, when they were shitting in the house. That sucked.
That was fun.
Yeah. We got the ducks in, John. I needed them to where they are now by the time I go next week to a workshop, so Dorothy didn't have to deal with carrying cages around and shit. So we got them way earlier than I wanted to, and then Nicole came with her Appalachian witch freaking magic and brought freaking like temperatures in the teens with her. So then they couldn't go in the shop, so they had to be in the house. So I had like these rolls of plastic bags laying on the ground, and then like this cage with 2x4s so that they shit through the cage. And every day it was like the biggest diaper you've ever seen in your life that we had to haul out. And then the day she left, her witch weather went with her. And so then they went outside, started getting tractored around. And just yesterday they had their first freedom day. So they're over there with the boy goose who's angry, but he's like, seems to like have been like, you guys are little, you're kind of like gooselings, so you guys are okay.
Like we always had the geese steal the ducklings and kind of mama goose them. And the geese take really good care of the baby ducks.
That's what happened last year. I had 6 babies born to a duck. They were about 2 weeks old. And the girl goose had just given up brooding. She failed again. And her and the 2 males stole the babies. And they did, yeah, like you said, they did great. There was no hawks to worry about. Because a hawk looks down and like, I don't want to do that.
Can you do Sudan grass on your property?
I have some actually. Like I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, they say it'll put down like 8-inch roots. It'll break rock, and I know they say that about daikon and stuff too. But
nothing breaks rock here. It's lime. We don't even have rock. We have concrete.
Like legitimately, to break rock, you need a little teeny crack for the root to get into.
What I need to do is the next time I come up to you, John, since you've never been here and you won't fucking leave and come here, is bring you a piece of it. Give you a piece of my land as a rock, because you can't really understand it until you look at it.
Yeah.
It is an aggregate, and I would say like 40% of the mass is shells. Like it's all fossilized shells from like 50 million years ago. So it literally is nature's concrete. It's hard as fuck. The only thing that will get into it is the trees, after about 10, 15 years of growing, will eat a couple inches into it, because the humic acid on that base will have that chemical reaction. And it'll turn orange. And then you can take a piece of it, you can crumble it in your hands, but it'll only go down about a foot. And then once you get down there, it's like sarcophagus. It looks like the freaking pyramids probably did before people stole the capstones. It's polished white limestone. There's no fucking with this. If I was worth a couple hundred million, you know, and I didn't want to move, I would just bring in like 5,000 dump trucks of dirt and just build it up about a foot.
Yeah. Yeah. Just break down wood mulch and stuff.
Yeah.
Or a hydraulic, a breaker on the end of a big excavator.
The only benefit to this really for us is we will never have a foundation problem. Our house isn't going anywhere. Won't. They don't even send mailers out here. Like, it's one of the biggest, because there's so much black clay in this part of Texas. Like, one of the biggest industries here locally is foundation repair. They don't even send mailers to us. Their engineers have gone, yeah, this whole piece of Tarrant County, just don't bother these people. They're not, there's not a, this is a 1978 house, and there's not a door that sticks.
That's great.
But if you want a swimming pool, it's $25,000 for the hole.
Or an above ground pool.
Yeah, that's why we have an above ground pool.
Yeah.
But I said, I'd really like an in-ground pool. Like, you want to pay 25 grand? She goes, well, maybe. I'm like, for the hole? She goes, not the pool, the hole. Yes, the hole. The hole will be 25 grand. The pool will be like another 30.
You wouldn't even have to put a liner in it. You wouldn't even have to put a liner in it.
Dennis said that they almost could have skipped it. Like, he's like the like that top foot, it's all crumbly. But once you get into it, like, he said they had to bring in, first they brought in 2 big excavators, and they beat on it for like a week. And then they brought a Billy Bob in and they fucking dynamited it because they couldn't do it.
Yep.
And these people over here did one about 10 years ago and they totally dynamited it too. We heard the machines going for a couple days. And then one morning we just hear like this deep concussion and like this. It was like every 2 seconds for like 5 explosions. It was like. And I'm like, yep, they just dynamited it.
But did next door have a bunch of emails about, did somebody hear a big bang?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And in fact, the dude had put it out that it was going to happen, and they still, all the Karens went crazy.
We get that every day here.
Yeah.
Karens.
Well, I mean, how's your egg business going there, John?
Egg business is booming. Like, there, before I even open the door, there's people waiting for eggs.
You're selling eggs now?
Yeah, $4 a dozen. Like, before I even bring the eggs down the hill, there'll be two people. Hey, how many do you want? I'll take all you have.
Okay.
Are they reselling them?
I don't. I'm like, you can't have them all. I got a friend wanted 60 dozen. I'd rather sell a dozen to 60 people than 60 to one, because I can sell them all something else.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. We're selling the hell out of duck eggs right now, but it's all to our regular customers. We're getting a lot of calls though that we can't do anything for them. We're like, well, we have babies, but they'll be laying in like September.
Yep. A lot of people.
Can I get on a list? Can I get on a list for September?
Yeah, a lot of people get them and ask if they've been refrigerated. I said, no, they've not been washed nor refrigerated. And they said, good, I'm going to hatch them.
Okay.
Oh, there is that. The great chicken shortage of 2025 is upon us.
Yeah. Yeah. So where did all the chickens go? What happened?
We murdered them. Well, they murdered them.
Under the guise of?
Saving us all from the flu.
Do you have a bunch of dead birds laying around that are wild birds or anything? Have you seen any of that?
I not only have seen that, none of my birds have had any problems whatsoever.
Correct.
None. Yeah. Like, I haven't had a single sick bird, you know. But there's what happened.
Yeah.
There's what happened right there. For those on the audio only, so it's a Democrat donkey just dumping chickens into a grinder, killing them all. And it says we're out of eggs. And it's Trump feeding baby chickens and waiting for them to grow up so they can grow eggs. And then the Democrats back saying, still no eggs, what a failure. Like, that just pretty much sums up the entire left right now.
Yeah. Like, well, it's been like 2 months. Why hasn't it fixed the egg problem?
Do you notice most of the panic over the bird virus crossing into raw milk has seemed to have halted also? I haven't seen much about that either.
What I've noticed that's interesting, that's, I guess, loosely related and part of the whole RFK thing, is a much lower prevalence of drug commercials on Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we keep that under in the day for current events stuff and also Dorothy can tell what's going on and all. And I would say before the election, 2 out of 3 maybe commercials on Fox were either drugs or buy gold, right? Like, or buy a pillow. Like, those were that was it. And the number of drug commercials is distinctively down. And I wonder if they're trying to kind of blackmail Fox News to come back around to their way of seeing things or something.
Oh, like they're not paying for advertising with them, you mean?
Yeah. Like, we'll just cut our advertising and show you what it's really going to be like if this happens. And one of the things RFK has said is that the president could sign just an executive order and ban pharmaceutical commercials. And as much as I don't like the idea of banning things, I think that would be one of the most liberating things that could happen. And I don't think the world falls apart over it, because we all remember Marlboro Man and the Camel and Points and all the commercials and the doomsday of what was going to happen if tobacco can't advertise, then you won't be able to advertise puppy food or something. And like, nothing fucking happened. Like, all that happened is people smoked less. And then the media also started telling the truth about cigarettes. That's what happened. And if you think about it, if you're a news agency, John, or a channel, a commercial, a media outlet, and I am, you know, Purdue or I am Pfizer, and I'm spending $30 billion a year with you, you're not going to say a fucking thing about my product. You're not going to do it. I don't care how much integrity you have. You're going to be, in the end, your accounts are going to go, don't fucking do it. And you're not going to do it. And I think this is like the big version of Hunter Biden's paintings, right? Like, Hunter Biden was just out saying he doesn't have any money anymore because he doesn't know why, but nobody wants to buy his shitty paintings anymore, because I guess you can't buy influence with the president when he's not there anymore. And it's kind of the same thing. Like, I don't think they actually believe for a minute that watching some fat chick pick up to-go meals and distribute them to the office and then break out in a line dance is actually selling drugs. I don't think that's the goal. I think that the goal is to pay for influence. That's all that it is. I mean, the commercials are so almost like they're doing it that retarded on purpose just to throw it in your face. Look what we can do.
What's
Dr.
that?
Barry is in the house.
if I take this drug, I got to take five others or my butthole falls out. That sounds wonderful. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Don't take this thing if you're allergic to this thing.
That's the best one. You know why they do that? Because it makes you ignore the other side effects. What this is what my wife used to tell me when she was a nurse. Drugs rep would come in and say, well, if they asked, the doctor asked or the nurses asked about a side effect of the drug, they'd say, do you know if one person in the whole trial has that side effect? They have to put it down as a side effect. Bullshit. It has to exceed the freaking placebo control group for that to be the case. But they just lie like that all the time. And then so the way to get around that is you put in your laundry list of side effects. Don't take it if you're allergic to it. And then the average human mind just goes, oh, they have to, like, just say everything. But now, I don't know if you've noticed this, some of these drug commercials, like, see our website for additional side effects. Like, they literally run out of fucking time. They're like, your asshole could fall out, your perineum could swell up. I had to look up what a perineum was. I didn't know. It's the place between your balls and your ass, if you're confused.
Isn't that your taint?
And if I take this drug that's designed to make me not depressed, the space between my balls and my ass will swell up. That would make me depressed. It also going to increase my suicidal tendencies, which I'm thinking that's kind of the opposite of not being depressed. Like, this shit is ridiculous, and yet it is the biggest industry in the world. There's nothing bigger than it.
What's the number on pharmaceuticals? I can't remember what the term is, but they have a number of how many people in the group, and out of 100%, that rate might be only 11%. Did got any positive benefits, but they'll still put that out. I can't remember what that was, but I recently heard that talked about, and it's pretty astounding.
Your taint.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, we're still back on the taint.
If they would have said taint, I would have known. But it was some psychological drug, and it said may cause swelling of the perineum. I'm like, the what? Like, no. You look it up, you're like, yeah, that's what shit. Like, how? What? Or it might cause lymphoma. Like, of all the cancers that you don't want, you really don't want lymphoma, right? When you get cancer, the first thing they want to know, did it spread to the lymph system, right? Because that's your stage of cancer and your odds of being treated. Like, I think if you have it of the lymph system, it's done gone, right? It's done moved out there. So, and it'll say, how about this one? Have happened. Like, talk about, like, passive-aggressive passing the buck, right? Like, lymphoma and suicidal thoughts have happened. What the fuck is that? And this is what, like, half the people in this country will die and fall on a sword to defend this.
Which makes no sense, but that's where we are.
That's where we are.
That's where we are.
That's where we are. And I know what we can do to fix it. If we burn enough Teslas, that will fix it.
If we that might start wildfires, Jack. Wildfires are bad.
Not if they're Teslas. It's okay to burn Teslas.
Did you see the woman with the penis that got put in the female jail that was released on her own cognizance that burnt down, had the incendiaries? You know that she had three other incidences that they believe that where he had lit other Teslas and dealerships on fire. I think it's the same dealership that was also fired into, had bullet holes through a monitor inside and through the windows.
I don't
have any friends that bought a Tesla. They have trucks and, you know, fast cars and shit. You go back 3 years ago, that was the virtue signal. I've got a tranny kid and I have a Tesla.
Yeah.
And a two-legged dog. And now those are the people that are, you know, burning down the Teslas.
I didn't see the he/she that you're talking about. I did see the dude that looks like a retread 1970s hippie chasing a Cybertruck through the middle of New York and then smacking the side of it. You know, like I look at that and I go, do you know what happens if you do that in Fort Worth, Texas? The truck pulls over, you get your ass beat, and the truck drives away. That's what happens. In New York City, what you do is you run behind a cop car after you do it, and they protect you.
Well, they just took.
It's okay to beat up Cybertrucks, of course.
They just took down the BLM Court Square shit there in I guess that's in D.C. and New York.
Oh yeah, yeah. DC definitely, like, they're ripping it up with, you know, they got Caterpillar machines out there and shit ripping it up.
Burning a Cybertruck removes carbon from the atmosphere.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, that's just it's never been about logic or actual outcomes.
So I'm seeing that all the diesel tuning and all the EPA nonsense, it does seem to be that tuning is back on the menu, and EGR deletes and all that stuff. The stuff that basically where you take your DEF system off of there, I'm seeing that there is nobody to enforce that, and they actually have terminated all those inspectors that were going around. Have you guys heard anything about that? I see a lot of YouTube channels putting that out.
No.
I've just heard the rumors like you, John.
I've not heard anything.
Yeah. I did read today, and I haven't confirmed it, that the USDA canceled a program going into the second half of the year where they were giving grants to schools for buying local produce and food.
That'll probably be back on.
Yeah, people are freaking out about that. And I'm like, well, like, why did they get rid of it, and what are they doing? And has the school lunch program actually made itself here? No.
No. Yeah, red flyer meat, and my diesels are all older than DEF too, luckily. I even bought, when I bought a skid steer, I bought the 75 because it just meets the threshold underneath where I don't have to have DEF on that machine.
That's a dumbass thing too. Like,
yep.
There's those new vehicles that require it don't actually require it. And what I mean is there's no mechanical reason the vehicle wouldn't run without it, except that they program a chip to sense it. And it literally like slowly disables your vehicle. Like it just starts reducing your performance. And then it gives you like a certain number of miles where it just won't run at all. But there is no reason that the motor itself would not run without it. It's all computer bullshit.
And I believe all the new ones have a tattletale. Like if you even.
Oh, yeah. It rats you out.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like this motherfucker doesn't have piss in his tank. Come get him.
Yeah. My Toyotas know right when it's time for a oil change or service or anything.
Start telling on you.
That's
well,
right.
We can't.
Well, it's going to honor your warranty, Mr. Willis. Score.
We can't honor your warranty. You went 2.5 miles over your oil change limit. So the fact that your wheel fell off, that's why it happened. That's what's coming. That's what's going to be next. Is they're going to be monitoring your vehicle, and you anything outside of the service window, they'll say that's your warranty's void.
And it will affect your social credit score.
Yeah, John didn't change his oil. Fuck him, man.
He's killing the environment.
He's killing the environment. He didn't go get more oil. Like, my car hasn't moved in 3 months, so I don't need an oil change. Oh, no, every 90 days.
Yeah.
We have to kill dinosaurs synthetically so that you can get new oil.
Synthetically.
Synthetic yeah. Dinosaurs.
Hey, are those people still stuck in space?
Yes.
Yeah. Elon's going to go get him. Trump's
he was going to go get him, but then I know there was an explosion on one of his. Was that related, or was he just doing something?
No, that was Starship, which they expect explosions. Like, that's the thing. Like, he'll literally do a press conference tomorrow. We're going to be testing these new features of Starship, and there's an 85% chance that Starship will explode in the atmosphere. And then the media acts like it's this, like, oh, my God, Elon can't even make a rocket or whatever.
Yeah, they're portraying it as though it was the that was the mission to rescue those astronauts. Yeah. And apparently there's a bunch of nonsense with the astronauts on that system up in the space station. And those two individuals actually hate Elon Musk from what the tweet seemed like.
Fucking stay there then. That's how that needs to be.
He's literally the only person with something to go get them right now.
Yes.
Nah, fuck them. They can stay out there.
Yeah.
They can fucking stay up there. You know what? Some of the other guys that are probably ready to come down, bring them fuckers down and leave those other two people up there.
Is there anybody there other than those two?
Yeah, there's a whole shitload of people up there.
But they're, you know, rapidly losing bone density, which is not something that's easy to rebuild.
So there's an interesting thing my grandson and I were talking about yesterday. He's been asking about Elon eventually going to Mars. I'm like, you might see it, buddy. I probably won't in any meaningful way, but... We were talking about how, like, science isn't sure. Like, if, let's say we do have a colony on Mars eventually. We actually make it work. And then somebody's born on fucking Mars. And as a baby grows up on Mars with, like, 30% of the gravity on Earth, there is a question about whether that person would ever be able to live on Earth. Like, would their body structurally be able to handle Earth gravity if you developed fully in, like, 35% gravity on Mars?
Or would they be like Superman?
Well, no. See, we would be Superman. That's the other thing, right? So let's say there's a colony on Mars, and people are being born on Mars, and now you're several generations into it.
Got it. I see what you're saying.
And you're on Earth, and you're native born to Earth and you go to Mars, you're Superman.
Yeah.
Right? You can kick everybody's ass. You can lift like two times. It's like Star Trek shit. Like the guy grew up on like a heavy planet, so he's super strong, like a Vulcan or something. Even though you kind of look like the same, it's just the muscle atrophy and things like that.
Well, the sci-fi shows have shots they can give you that make your skeletal ability to handle that go up. But then if you're immune to the shot, then you can't. That's the answer to the question, according to science fiction.
So, Beth, yeah, I don't
go to Mars before we invent that shit.
Yeah.
I don't know about the Cybertruck being great for hunting, but Polaris has had an electric Ranger out for well over a decade, and all you hear is just the branches breaking and the leaves that it runs. They're super silent. And also, Kid Rock, his new girlfriend is Bobert. That's who he is currently seeing, apparently.
Lauren Bobert?
Yep.
Hooked up with Kid Rock?
Yes.
Not on my 2025 bingo card.
No.
All right. What is he, like 70 now?
I don't know. More power to him, man.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that old.
I don't know. Find out. How old is
this is a very Kid important Rock? Question to answer on a Tuesday Live. How old is Kid Rock?
Oh, shit. He's only a year older than us. 1971.
There we go.
Holy shit.
So what do you think was taking Twitter down? Do you think that...
Ukrainians?
Do you think it is Ukrainians?
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Is it sanctioned government Ukrainians, or is it just pissed off Ukrainian hackers? I don't know.
Or NATO through Ukraine.
Yeah. Yeah. I personally think that's all about to come to an end, and that's why they're all fucking throwing fits about it.
Well, I think they're over in Saudi Arabia right now. I think Trump is currently in Saudi Arabia with Putin and with Zelensky.
Yeah. Zelensky, I'm not coming. Okay, we'll do it without you. Wait a minute. Like, yeah.
Somebody not told him you realize that you were in the United States and somebody could have just grabbed you and that would have been the end to all of that shit?
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that's going on right now is, so since we're not giving you any more shit, and the Ukrainians are like, we're not going to do a ceasefire, the Russians are like, the fuck you're not. And the Russians have fucking upped their shit because, you know, they are about ready to collapse. They do have to take washing machines apart to get chips out of them, but they're also about to take over the whole world. It's Schrodinger's Putin again, you know? But Russia realizes they're at an end game of the war. And they've just, like, Kursk was the one incursion the Ukrainians successfully made. They basically sent a bunch of mercs up into Kursk, which is a piece of Russia, and it's almost completely pushed out now. There was videos out today of, like, all these old ladies and shit, like, crying when the Russian soldiers were telling them that their area is liberated. They can come outside. They don't have to stay inside anymore. So this is now going to be the point where Russia pushes really hard. And what Ukraine's saying is, well, we want a ceasefire. Sort of. We want a ceasefire in the air and on the sea, but not on land. In other words, we want a ceasefire everywhere we're getting the living fuck kicked out of us. And if you're going to have a ceasefire in the air, that means no air support for ground operations, right? So Russia's like, wanting one hand shit in the other.
I mean, I want to eat healthy for breakfast and dinner, but not lunch.
Exactly.
I'm a kid who's like being put on a diet, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like this has to end. This is about to end. The only way it didn't end was us propping it up. And when Europe's like, we're going to spend $800 billion, Trump's like, good. That's what I wanted you to do. And it won't help you with this right now. Like, you don't have time to go from your piddly ant bullshit to actually being able to take on one of the great military superpowers of the world in like the next five fucking days, which is what you're going to have to do if you want to take this over. I personally think we should just do this. You're on your fucking own. Because we're already being accused of being on Russia's side by not giving them more money. We gave these fuckers over $300 billion. We propped their bullshit up. We're literally, I don't know if you know this, John, we are paying the fucking retirement of Ukrainian bureaucrats right now. That's who's paying. We're paying their 401ks equivalent.
Yeah, there's people partying in nightclubs and shit. There's supercars all over the place. This is the most dangerous point in time for the troops on the ground when they start talking ceasefire, because everybody's going to try to gain or pull back. This is the most dangerous time for those dudes right now.
Well, and here's where I think we're being really stupid and not learning from history. So I don't know how many people know this, but there's a reason that November 11th is Veterans Day. And it was because a bunch of tools decided it would sound really cool when they signed the armistice for World War I if you could say, "And the guns fell silent on the 11th day of the 11th month of the 11th hour." Mm. That's the only reason that they waited till that moment to sign the ceasefire. Okay? A month before this, everybody was in agreement. This is over. They had another month of fucking horrific war so that someday a narrator on a thing could say those hallowed words. That's all that's going on in Ukraine right now. There is no outcome other than what is going to be the outcome. So and it's been that way since the beginning, and all we're doing is having people die for no good fucking reason at this point.
So how about those tariffs?
Yeah.
What tariffs?
Okay, so is it my understanding that the tariffs that Trump is talking about is only matching Canada? Canada already has a tariff on the United States. We are going to bring up a matching tariff. Justin Trudeau loses his shit, raises more, so we meet him. And there is actually zero tariff in effect currently, right?
Yeah, it's all talk.
None. There is some tariff in effect. Like, the tariffs on China are in effect.
Okay.
The tariffs in Mexico, pretty much Mexico has been Trump's bitch. And it's been forestalled and forestalled. Canada, like, it's like 10% of the tariffs are actually in place. The rest of them go into place, I think, April 2nd.
And it keeps being put off another month.
He should have done, come on, April Fool's Day. Why 2nd? Like, April Fool's, motherfucker.
Well, there's Trudeau's gone anyway.
And the hysteria on Facebook is that they're literally taking Jack Daniels off the shelves in Canada.
Ooh.
Like, I give a fuck.
The meme is that Jack Daniels was taken off the shelf, and as a result, the Jack Daniels distillery fired 650 people to downsize and shut down one of their plants in Kentucky.
Is that real?
So they are doing that, but and they stated that a worldwide reduction in demand for whiskey is the reason, and that Canada taking it off the shelves also hurt.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It was going to happen anyway.
Well, then
so there is no tariff on that whiskey yet, right? I guess Canada has a tariff on the whiskey, but Canada already had a tariff on the whiskey. And if I was running a liquor store and you were about to make something unaffordable or unavailable, and I had it in inventory.
Buying the shit out of it. Hold it.
Here's what they're really doing. You know this is what they're doing. They took it off the shelves. They put all these videos of them taking it off the shelves. But you notice they were like all like packing
carefully.
Because all they're going to do is put it in the back, wait a couple months, and bring it out and triple the price because they can't return it. They already bought it. Like, you can't unimport something like that. Like, it's the Cuban cigar, right? Like, when they put the embargo on the Cuban cigars, Kennedy did that. You know the first thing he did was stack his own fucking humidor. That's what Kennedy did. The first thing Kennedy did was stock his own fucking Cubans up, and then he put the embargo in.
Who was the guy saying, we'll just cut off power to the United States?
Oh, the head of Ontario, I guess.
Does he not realize that all the natural gas comes from the United States? It all passes in?
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, he said he's going to put a tariff on it. And then he said, if I have to, I'll just shut it off. You talk awful big for a guy with nothing. I mean, that's all I can say. Like, how much energy do we really get from Ontario to begin with? I know it's three states to get some, but it's not like it's 100%. So even if you had like 10% of your energy subject to an additional 25% tariff, then what you're actually looking at is a 2.5% increase in your energy cost. Like, it's like all of this is just being made to be more than it is because the left is angry and they don't have anything. I've never seen the left this fucked up in my life.
Yeah, they used to be funny, and now they're not funny anymore.
Now they're sad.
Yeah, they're awful.
You know when you don't like somebody and you want to see bad things happen to them, but it's so bad that you actually feel bad for them anyway. That's kind of where they're at. Like, we started out with the whole choose your fighter video and shit. Like, when did you think this was gonna be? And here's what I think they're actually doing. We will just throw no matter how. Like, they just get people in a room. What's our new message for today? Well, that's stupid. Yeah, but it's the only one we have. Just throw it out there. And their hope is that sooner or later, they pull something out of the shitter and throw it at the wall, and it sticks. And whatever that is, when it sticks, then everybody gets on that sheet of music and they pound that one thing. That's their goal, and that's worked for them up till now. But to me, I think they are in a place where they are so divorced from reality that it's impossible at this point. What can they actually resonate with an average person with at this point, right? Like, they're still on the hill to die on is still trans athletes. Like, even Gavin Newsom's like, yeah, we should probably stop saying that, you know? Former Governor Cuomo's like, no, that's it, man. That's our way, you know? I haven't seen the Democrats do anything that's made any sense yet. And there is shit you could legitimately criticize, but they don't want to do that because that's reality. And then, well, then they have to explain how all their other non-reality goes with that. It's,
well, I mean,
I guess if you stay away from reality for long enough, you can't use it anymore.
Well, they've built their world. Like, they think it's real.
What would they criticize, though? Not getting the Epstein list? I mean, they're all on it. That's the last thing they want coming out. Hell no,
right?
They don't
want that. So where's the Epstein list? They could criticize, like, our actions in Israel and destabilizing Syria.
No, they all have
the thousands of Syrian Christians being massacred right now, but they can't do that.
No,
I mean, because literally every member of Congress has an AIPAC guy.
Except
you know this, John. I don't mean it's a 1-to-1 ratio.
Yeah, except for one.
Yep, Thomas Massey.
Yep.
Even Rand Paul has an AIPAC guy.
Yep, and dual citizenship.
Nah,
I don't know about him, but all the others dual citizenship.
So here's one from Art by Lee Murphy, seen on a Democratic T-shirt or seen on a T-shirt. Never seen Dems this angry since Lincoln freed their slaves.
Yeah, I saw that.
Boy, isn't that the same argument still being made?
Yeah.
But without immigrants, who will pick the crops?
Yeah, it's kind of disgusting.
Who's going to clean our houses? Who's going to clean our houses?
Who's on the nose there, right? Like, and then the other, like, this again, there's no reality basement here. So Biden let in somewhere between 12 and 20 million illegal immigrants. But if we deport them, who will pick the crops? Mm-hmm. The same motherfuckers that picked the crops prior to 2020? Like, all these people are living in, like, the airport in Chicago, hotels in New York. They're not picking your fucking crops.
There were farms in California, all through California, that were having to shut down because the regulation was when they brought the migrants in, which I think were, like, from Guatemala or somewhere.
Okay.
When they had to have 401ks for them. They had to 401k them. They had to medical insurance them. And they were like, we literally hacked down these thousands of acres of asparagus and all these other crops because it is so asinine. We literally can't harvest them and have a profit on them.
I don't know why we are doing any sort of manual picking of anything anymore anyway. Like Curtis Stone, when he was spin farming vegetables in people's backyards, even he had mechanized harvest for like greens and shit. Like, yeah. How many people do you actually need? Like, people think that, like, certain things can't be picked by machinery. We have things called straddle harvesters that will literally, like, drive right over a row of oranges and pick all the oranges. And they have equipment now that literally can, like, but they need to know which one's right. The equipment knows which ones to pick.
Canada,
or it just shakes the whole fucking tree and the right shit falls off. Like, I don't know why we have any of this going on at this point. I really don't.
Canada's the northern trailer park to the United States.
What do they call them? Snow Mexicans.
Yeah.
Snow Mexicans.
Curtis Stone had a little cutter for spinach, and it would harvest into like a grass catcher, and it would run off of your DeWalt. You can get those at Bootstrap Farmer, Grower Solutions, I think even my greenhouse. Farmer's Friends. I think they even have them.
Yeah. Like, I don't know I don't think there is a problem there. I really don't. I don't think that problem exists anymore.
Also, food is a really big motivator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if we can't get the crops in and people start getting hungry, we're going to get crops in.
Grow your food locally and you won't have to worry about any of that.
Well, and like this idea that Americans won't do the jobs if you stop giving them welfare for sitting on their ass and playing video
games.
That's
it exactly. That is it exactly. I put a thing up on a local Facebook group, said we're going to audition new hires from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And we had several walk in. We hired a couple of them and they're doing great, but we have them walk in all the time. And the first question is, what's the job pay? Not what is the job? And I say we're auditioning them because we're looking to see who shows up. And we're going to give you a task. And if you accomplish that quickly, we're going to head you to the next task. And your pay is going to depend on your performance. They lost their minds over not saying what the job was or what the pay was. And the people that were the most irate about it don't even live in Tennessee. I don't even know where they came from.
Yeah.
Every time John puts a post out like that, it's a dumpster fire. And I know I shouldn't be spending my time watching dumpster fires, but I'll like read it at night.
I put up a shirt, one of our shirts that says Doge, make Washington D.C. follow the Constitution. And a dude goes, oh, you should send those to D.C. because they're not following the Constitution. Dude, that thread turned into 300 comments of people like, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to knock your teeth out. Like, it was the most insane shit over one or two people in there.
I don't know. No. I give up.
You don't know.
I give up. I have
strategic Bitcoin reserve.
Oh, no. Real quick before we move on. I will actually defend the people asking you what you're going to pay. And I'll tell you why. I don't have to know what my wage is going to be. But if you're below a certain wage, fuck you.
Sure.
I don't care who you are. Like, if you tell me, well, we start people at $8 an hour. It's better that we both know that, not because maybe that's not a good place to start people, but that's not where I'm at in my life for income. Sure. So I'm not taking that job. So it would be better if I just knew so I can tell you to fuck off and you cannot waste your time with me because I'm not working for fucking $8 an hour. There's no fucking way that's happening. It doesn't matter. And almost nobody does, by the way. Like, for all the talk about minimum wage, have you ever looked up what percentage of people in America make minimum wage?
I haven't.
0.83% of people in this country make minimum wage. 0.83%. There is no discussion on minimum wage anymore. It's ridiculous. It no one does it. Like,
but have you ever made minimum wage in your life?
I have made less than minimum wages today.
Were you ever hired at a minimum wage job?
The lowest I was ever paid in my life was $4.50 an hour. Well, minimum wage was $3.35 an hour. And I knew grown ass adults making $7.50, and I was a teenager.
John, have you ever worked a minimum wage job?
Yeah, when I was 13.
Yeah, same. And it lasted about 3 months before I got some sort of a raise for doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing when I went to work for McDonald's, they said, "Do you have any interest in being?" I'm 13. "Do you have any interest in being management? And would you like to own a McDonald's?" And I said, "No, what? No." And the answer is they put you in a program all McDonald's owners have to have managed, and they will pipe you into a program for management immediately if you show any interest in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I don't. No.
But minimum wage does influence how much union workers make because they make a formula based on where the minimum wage is. And so the pressure to push it up is a lot of that's coming from the guys who need to get paid whatever fair union
government rates too.
Yeah.
So it's the people that are already being paid six figures that are the loudest about this. That's the truth. Like, they are not worried. Well, we need these poor people. They don't give a fuck about those people at all. What they want is the ability to leverage the next union contract hire. That's all they want.
Yeah. What percentage of people in the United States pay no taxes?
About 50.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Income, to be fair,
correct.
Right?
Like, yeah.
Because you pay SSI, and you pay sales tax, and you're either paying property tax directly or indirectly. But income, federal income tax, about half of the country pays none. And they're the ones that are the loudest about how much they pay, by the way. If Elon would pay his fair share, we could wipe out homelessness.
They calculate his income based on the stocks he has and the valuation of those stocks, which makes no sense.
There is a lack of any economic literacy in, I would say, probably 70% of the country. Even people that end up falling on, I guess you would say, our side, they don't know why they're on our side. They just don't like the other side, right? Very few people could explain to you why only half the people in the country pay income tax. Why? Not even that, but why? How does that work? How does that work out? Earned income credits, minimum standard deductions, et cetera. Like, if you're a married couple and you make less money than 2 times the standard deduction, right there, you're not going to pay tax.
Plumber, they were not threatening me. They were threatening local people in the community that disagreed with them.
I saw you invited them to come up and record a podcast with you.
Oh, I absolutely did.
Nobody showed up, did they?
We can sit down right here, and if you're scared, I can have a deputy sheriff here while that happens to control the situation if we need to. But I would love to sit down and hear what you have to say. He not one time, I tagged him 5 or 6 times. Not one time did he ever reply to any of that. He kept attacking the little lady, the little Chinese lady who moved here as an immigrant and became a United States citizen.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know they hate immigrants now?
Yeah.
Elon's supposed to go back to Africa. I mean, just saying go back to Africa like 5 years ago would get you canceled. But now they're literally saying that about Elon.
But he doesn't have dark skin. It's allowed.
Yeah. And then South Africa wants their own version of Starlink. If only a South African could make Starlink. Wait a minute. Like, because they're talking about turning it off on themselves.
Yeah, the African farmer stuff is absolutely insane.
Oh, yeah. That's that. You know, who could have seen that coming?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That place is turning into a third world shithole.
Let it.
What is it? What isn't turning into a third world shithole right now? China and Russia.
We'll see.
John, right now, if I said there's a guy coming to your house, he's going to put a gun in your mouth. You have no fucking choice. You're going somewhere. You're going to be given citizenship and dropped off in the rural countryside of one of two countries. One is Ukraine. One is Russia. Where are you going?
Russia.
No question.
That's where I would go. But Putin's an evil dictator. Okay. Still going to Russia.
You're not going to get conscripted into the army in Russia, and you might in Ukraine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Liberty Cast, I have 2 different internets coming in here, and my third is Starlink. And Starlink outperforms the others. It just does. I have the highest speed. We've got great cable company. We've got all the stuff. And my best internet, unless it rains, is Starlink. I know that you don't like Starlink for whatever reason, but it does work. And I can travel around with it, and it gives you internet where you're literally not going to have any other internet.
Yeah, I have the fiber here, but we have Starlink next door and the neighbors, so that there's always a backup plan because something's going to go out.
Yeah. I saw somebody say we can fix South Africa, but people won't like what it entails. But yeah, absolutely. Nobody wants to say that, but when savages aren't ruled by an iron fist, savage shit's going to happen.
Do you know, if you want to fix a country right now, there's a perfect blueprint, El Salvador. And it didn't look good while it was happening, did it? Like, literally, it was like, oh, you're a gang member, you're going to fucking prison. Oh, you're a gang member, you're going to fucking prison. Oh, you look like a gang member, you're going to fucking prison. And then they put them all to work in prison and said, now here's your way out. And don't fuck up again or you're going back to prison. El Salvador is one of the safest places in the fucking world right now. And 6 years ago is one of the most dangerous places in the world. There is a way to fix these problems, but people don't want to acknowledge what you have to do to fix them.
Strategic Bitcoin reserve.
Yes, I'm very happy.
But that's not what it was supposed to be. I didn't sign up for that.
Yeah, yeah. There are some special people in the Bitcoin space. And it's interesting to me because what is the point of Bitcoin? Censorless, borderless, permissionless. Anybody can use it and nobody can stop anybody from using it. You're doing it wrong. Like, I don't, you know, it's like there was this early attitude with Bitcoin, like, it's fuck them. We're going to take it all control of it. But we're not taking control of it. We're just making the thing. And there's people that won't let go of that. Like, this isn't what I signed up for, is what John said. And that's, I saw a lot of that when it was announced. You know, like, we don't want the government doing this. Well, too bad. Are you happy as a whole coiner, Nicole?
Yeah. I've been happy as a whole coiner the whole time, even though it's been bouncing around in value. I don't actually really pay that much attention to it.
I don't
care.
Like,
it's in the 80s last time I looked, and that was probably yesterday. And I was like, okay, that's fine.
Then it went in the 70s, and then it went back in the 80s. Yeah. And then it was in the 90s for 5 seconds again. And, like, and then people text you, like, oh, it's crashing. Really? Let me buy more. Let me see. What did I pay today?
Look at that. Well, so I heard an interesting discussion of it. Somebody who is not anti-strategic Bitcoin reserve, by the way.
Okay.
And their critique was the money that's in there, or the Bitcoin that's in there, is stuff that was confiscated by the government.
Sure.
And so it's not that that's, like, so that's bad and evil and all of that. But he's like, and some of that, like, legitimately, since one of the people they got that from has been pardoned completely.
Yeah.
Do they get their Bitcoin back?
No.
And then the reserve is smaller, right?
No.
But can they win in a lawsuit?
Possibly. So there is some of it that may go back, and the government's been honest about that, because it was part of a bankruptcy with whatever. And so some of that may go to the people who were harmed, and that's fine. The Ross Ulbricht, now, what I think should happen in a perfect world, Ross should get his fucking Bitcoin back.
Right.
Legally, there is no case for that. As a lawyer, I would say there is no case for that, right? Like, the action when you are pardoned is not deemed as not being criminal. You are simply separated from that activity, and you don't carry it with you. But you don't get to keep what you took when you do that. Again, I think he should, but he won't. The important thing is, and this is why there's kind of like a want-wall response to it, they didn't actually buy any Bitcoin. They already had the Bitcoin, but what they did was, the directive says, thou shalt not sell thy Bitcoin. And to put it in one bucket, let's audit it, see how much we have, and now find ways to add to it. Okay, fine. The shit coins, this was the most beautiful part of it to me. So Trump puts out this thing on Truth Social, so we're going to have ADA, and we're going to have Solana, and all this shit. And then the directive comes out, it's like, so we're going to put all the shit coins in a shit coin bucket. Thou shalt sell the shit coins, and thou shalt use the proceeds to buy more Bitcoin. And I know what people's case is when they say, but the government, everything they have, they stole. But that's true of everything. That's true of the fucking money they use to build your roads, to build your schools, and all the shit you think you need. You're okay with them stealing money for that. But now you want to single this one thing out. It is what it is. And this is like weather. When weather is changing, you change what you do in response to the weather. You don't get mad at the weatherman. And all I'm saying is, the having another gigantic holder of Bitcoin, strategically stacking more, is good for everybody holding Bitcoin. Economically, the end, infinity.
And it's not sad to be somebody holding Bitcoin.
Yeah, go ahead and dump all your Bitcoin.
That's okay. Sell your Bitcoin to the government. Sell it to BlackRock. Sell it to me and Nicole and John. We'll buy it.
Don't sell it. Just give it to us, because obviously Bitcoin is now evil and you shouldn't profit from
it. Yeah, you should. You should just send it.
You should just, I'll send you an address later. Here. You can transfer it all to me.
Here, let's.
Jack's going to put his online right now.
Yeah, here, amount, Lightning invoice, just go on chain, because I want big Bitcoin. Here, right now, right there, just send all your Bitcoin to that. I promise to share it with John and Nicole, I promise. It's as good as a promise from government. Fucking tards. I buy Bitcoin every day, small amount every day. I have an auto purchase set up, it goes through every day. About 9 o'clock in the morning, I go take a dump. And I look, and my purchase went through, and I'm happy. So far,
that has been my best retirement investment.
Bitcoin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be.
You can do that on Cash App. You can auto-purchase it.
Cash App, River, Strike's what I'm using. I need to set up an account with River. I think River is going to start taking over bank accounts. Like, people are going to switch to River, because they do, like, you hold your USD there, too. Pay all your bills from there, just like your bank. But you get interest on your dollars. But the interest is paid in Bitcoin. I think that's pretty cool.
So Bob says, what about the argument you don't make money with Bitcoin until you sell it?
Shut the fuck up. That's it.
You don't make money on anything until you sell it.
Just shut the fuck up. He's just fucking stupid. You have something with like an annualized 200% return. You want to know what the cash flow is on it. Like, shut the fuck up. And I'm not really talking to Bob here. I'm talking to the people that actually formulate that. You know, what's the cash flow? What's the yield? If you ask me what the yield on something is with a 200% annualized return, shut the fuck up. I don't have any other answer for you because you're too stupid for me to talk to. I'm sorry.
Well, what's the yield on a piece of property you bought that appreciated?
Well, you can rent it.
Still own.
But you can rent it.
Yeah, well.
So?
That's how I treat it.
It depends, right? Like, what's the yield? What's the yield on your fucking stock in your 401k that you're not going to sell until you fucking retire? It's just a dumb fucking question. And again, I'm not attacking Bob. I don't think I am anyway. But, you know, yeah, KT says you can rent it, but are you? And most people that hold real estate are not renting it out. Most people think it's too hard to do because, well, Nicole can tell you it's not exactly easy.
Yeah, it's not easy, but it's not. I mean, my second best retirement investment has been real estate. It's, you know, it hasn't been terrible. But I'm looking at selling one property and getting a lot of acreage and setting up a community at this point because I hate maintaining properties far away from my house.
Yeah.
A lot easier to handle it closer in. And so that's probably what I'm going to do. Does SOE accept Bitcoin for products, John?
No, just pay me in cash or gold or silver.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I wouldn't even take gold and silver. Now, I take Bitcoin, but I sell a soft product. I don't sell a hard product. And this is something that, like, you are not going to see Bitcoin widely accepted unless it's orange washing. Because what's going to happen is that person says they're accepting Bitcoin, it's immediately back end swapped over to US dollar. And the reason is simple. John, over the past couple months, Bitcoin went really high and then really, really, really way down. If you were doing all your sales in Bitcoin or converting all your sales to Bitcoin on Atomic Swap or whatever, if you were saving that money for the rest of your life, that would work out for you. But since you have to like buy new inventory with it and make payroll, what would happen to SOE if you were taking 30% hits on your revenue over the last 60 days and now you got to make payroll next week?
Plus, the guy's asking if we take Bitcoin. They're not offering to buy some shit in Bitcoin. Who the fuck's going to take their Bitcoin and go buy some anything with it? You know, why would you do that? That's stupid. It's I gotcha. See, I gotcha.
Yeah, you tell
people to buy Bitcoin, but you won't take Bitcoin. That's typically what that is.
I accept Bitcoin for coffee at Hollow Roast.
And you can do that on your volumes?
Less than 1% of any purchases happen that way.
Yeah, but I'm saying on your volumes, that's just Bitcoin that you don't have to buy it.
We use Shopify.
We
use Shopify for all of our stuff, and I'm pretty sure there's a toggle in there. I can click Bitcoin, and you can pay in Bitcoin, and it deposits it just in U.S. dollars into my bank account at whatever the current rate.
Well, you do accept Bitcoin, John.
I'm gonna put a shirt
in my cart and just see if I can pay with Bitcoin out of curiosity.
I don't think it's on. I don't think we've turned it on.
Oh.
I just think it's an accounting nightmare. Like,
yeah. Oh, fuck.
Honestly,
yeah, it is.
Like, I'm pissed right now that I got too much Bitcoin last year in a way where I got to pay tax on it. So, I'm an affiliate for Fold and I have the spin squad thing where when you sign up through my link, I get like 20,000 sats. But then every time you earn Bitcoin, I earn Bitcoin. And I just got a thing. It was like $1,800 on a W-2.
Oh, no.
That has to go on my taxes this year because I was paid Bitcoin from Fold. And I'm like, what's up, fuckers? You said I didn't have to. Well, your own rebates on your own spend, you don't have to pay tax on. But it makes sense. They're actually paying you as an affiliate. Then they have to record that because they want the deduction.
You would think if you're using Coinbase or Cash App or whatever, however you're buying Bitcoin, as soon as you convert to cash, you would think that within that program, they know what the current day what the rate was at that day. Somebody knows that shit. They make it impossible for you to declare. I guarantee the IRS knows.
All they have to do is prove you're wrong. They don't even have to prove what right is.
Strike knows.
Strike, no. Strike gives you very clear.
Yeah, so if you sell something Bitcoin on Strike.
Yeah, the fuckers.
And then convert it immediately. It's like it came in at this, and 2 seconds later it was worth that, and you're done.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah, if you want to convert it. I mean, the other thing is if you accept Bitcoin, it's going to be such a low percentage of what you sell. Yeah. It just sits there, and then it was worth, you know, if it was a $25 mug, it was worth $25 when you got it. And that's $25 of revenue. But if you don't sell the Bitcoin, you're not making a capital gain or loss.
Brian Perry, you're buying $8 a day. Why eight? Why not 10? Just curious. Why eight?
Maybe he listens to me and I said, whatever you'll do for the month, divide it by 30 and make it your daily.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Or $8 coffee. Can you even buy a coffee for $8 anymore?
Yeah.
$5.
Yeah.
I think a large plain coffee at Starbucks is like four something. It's almost $5.
And it's not.
I drink all roast out of an AeroPress.
Yeah.
It's empty. Fuck.
Dorothy, make coffee. Closer to Camden, Nicole? No. If I buy property, it'll be close to me. That the whole point is not driving everywhere all over the place. I'm not moving. I'm way too entrenched here at this point.
Yeah. I wouldn't move if I were you either.
I mean, like, there are situations where I would move, but it would take a lot.
Like if somebody just wrote you a check for $100 million, you'd probably find it.
Totally,
place.
Yeah, I'm in.
Nicolistan
will happen.
Or Sauce Stan.
Although I could probably buy the whole hauler at that point.
Sauce City.
Establish myself as a municipality and just go forward from there.
Sauce
City. Become the government. No, it's not my
the new. The new country of Sausalito.
Put your own damn road in.
Yeah, well, there is a road, and I'm happy with the quality of my road. It keeps people from driving on the road.
If I lived where you did and somebody gave me $100 million and I chose to stay there, I would do two things. One, I would improve the road. And two, I know why you don't want to improve the road. Yes, I would put in fucking private gates and you're not getting in. So now we can fix the road because we don't have to worry about people we don't want coming down the road. I actually lived for a few years when we were in Arkansas with a gate on the road that kept people out that didn't live there. It was the greatest fucking thing ever.
Gates, it was the best thing. Yep, best.
And we had like four neighbors, so it wasn't even that many people that could come by the gate. And we literally Friday at like 4:30, my neighbors north of me had like two families that always came over and hung out with them Friday night. We called it rush hour because two vehicles went through the gate within 20 minutes. That was rush hour. I loved that.
There's gated communities all over here, and the roads technically belong to the county.
Yeah.
And that's just the structure of where I live. So if I did that, if I get 100% buy-in on the road, we can actually gate it now.
Gotcha.
Then you have to become an HOA, which is a whole nother.
Where we lived, our road literally was privately owned. Like the other side of that was we were responsible for everything.
Didn't I hear Trump say he was going to ban all HOAs across the United States? I thought I could have swore I saw those words come out of his mouth.
I think that was AI, though.
Maybe. Because
I don't think he has the authority to do it.
No, probably not.
But, man, like, the Karens you would hear Karen wailing, like, from the whole country in simultaneous agony if we had got rid of HOAs.
You should ask AI what it sounds like and see if it can generate that particular imagery.
Did you hear the solar wind?
No.
The solar wind was freaky. So they made this satellite that apparently had enough shielding to get inside the sun's atmosphere before it incinerated itself. And so since it was in the atmosphere of the sun, you could hear the sound of the solar wind. It sounds like fucking sound effects for fucking hell. It is one of the creepiest fucking noises you will ever hear. But the flat earth tards really got upset about it. I encourage you to look it up. It's, yeah.
Well, there's always somebody to be mad about something.
Y'all roll. I'll see if I can find it.
There's a YouTube channel that came across my radar about 2 weeks ago, and it's this dude that does modified cars and stuff. And he has some beater truck that was parked in his driveway. It's legally plated. And the HOA starts giving him grief over this. So he goes and gets a custom license plate that says FU HOA. So they're losing their shit over this. So he then buys a smart car, monster car, which is also plated. And he is going back and forth with the HOA, and they've called the housing authority or whoever. And she's like, look, see it from their side. Just, you know, back the truck in so they can't see the FU license plate. And he goes, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. So he has now got and bought a giant limo and wrapped it, and he is running for the president of the HOA. And it's just this enormous battle back and forth, and that's his entire YouTube channel now.
How many followers does he have, John?
I don't know, but I heard him say, you know, he only got a few hundred views, and now he's getting millions of views on these videos.
All right, listen
okay,
to
here
this.
We go.
Listen to this. This is the sound of the solar wind.
And where is that?
The sun.
The sun, okay.
So it's some space probe that they made that had enough shielding to get inside the atmosphere before it incinerated. Eventually just gone. That is the sound. If you could get inside like Star Trek, the atmosphere of the sun, that's what it sounds like. Poltergeist.
It's fascinating.
It's pretty freaky sounding, man. But we're all dupes because the Earth is actually flat and we have never gone to space.
Right.
Yeah.
And there aren't people stuck in space right now.
Have you ever noticed that, like, you know, based on the first 25 minutes of the show, we'll probably all get thrown in YouTube jail this week. But people come out and say shit like that and nothing ever happens to them. There's no problem with disinformation when it's like flat Earth stupidity or something like that.
But when it could be true, then you'll get banned because it doesn't support the narrative.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, remember the guy that wanted to debate me about the flat Earth thing?
Has he come back?
He's never come back.
Oh.
I would love to debate a flat Earth chart.
Weren't we like 3 days out from the debate?
Yeah, and he ran away.
Did his hair flip and walked away? Yeah.
You're not going to control me or whatever. It's like these are the agreed upon rules of the debate.
The rules were.
Yeah. Well, the rules were very.
It was like you get to give your presentation for X amount of time.
Yep.
And then I get to make my presentation for X amount of time. There will be a total of 5 or 6 questions. I don't remember the number of questions.
It was like
I'll submit 3, or it was 2, 2, and then Nicole will solicit 2 from the audience.
Yeah, it was something like that. And then we got time for cross-examination, closing statement, and done.
Yeah.
And Nicole was like, and if either of you talk over the other, I will mute your mic.
Yeah.
You have to be given your time. And I'm like, I'm in. And this dude, and I put together like a badass PowerPoint deck. We gave 8 minutes for opening statements, and I had it down like 7 minutes, 41 seconds. Like I took it seriously, even though it was stupid. And when he realized it was actually going to be a debate instead of two people yelling at each other, he just ran away. Never heard from him again.
Well, he wasn't very good at communicating either. So there's this style of communication where people go on for a long time and don't get to a point.
Yeah.
And they bring up unrelated things. That everything he said, you'd be like, what did he mean? I don't get it. Which would have fallen over into his presentation, I'm sure.
His response was something like sending me a video that was 109 reasons the Earth is flat, and now I can't say anything because of the video. Like, you don't know how debates work. Then he wanted his buddy that used to be in the Navy to help him with the debate, and I'm like, bro, no. Like, this. You made graphics and everything up for that. He totally screwed you over worse than me.
I didn't spend that much time on it.
Nicole was in Canva.
I was like, we're going to get this on. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. I get to mute people.
There's just too many things that work that wouldn't work if the Earth was flat. Like, there's no unified flat Earth theory either. Like, the globe theory, they want to say, it's a theory. Okay, yeah, so's your mom. Anyway, but, like...
virtually.
How does the universe work if the Earth is round? It's all unified. If you look at the flat Earth, which I'm actually impressed with the mental gymnastics they're able to do to come up with explanations, but explanation A and explanation B for two different things, they don't unify. They don't go together.
What happens when you craft arguments about a desired result around the desired result? And the same goes with the global warming stuff.
Yeah.
It's not that there's not climate impacts from things, but they can't unify it. And so then you're just like, it's just like shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah. Yeah.
None of which means we shouldn't care for the Earth, but
the height.
Let's go back to that.
Every other planet is round except ours.
There aren't other planets.
No, they're just lights in
the
sky.
Fictional. Yeah.
It's lights in the sky. And when you say, well, why would they do all this? I don't know, but it probably has something to do with money. That's like the official flat earth hard answer. It has something to do with money. We don't know what.
Okay, so it's like the land deed thing where you own your own deed and you declare. So all of that, I want it to be true so badly, first mm-hmm. of all. But a lot of the people pushing that, it's so buy my course to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
Every time. And I'm like, if you can't, like, give me examples of where this has worked.
Yeah.
I don't want to go down that road. It's like, I don't want to tell people to go down that road because they're going to be pretty pissed if they don't successfully fight off somebody wanting to come put them in jail.
Well, my response.
That being said, I'm not closed to considering it. It's just the argument.
One neat trick, Nicole. Just one trick that the government doesn't want you to know. Give me $99 and I'll tell you how to do it. Like, if this was real, there would be billboards in the middle of Dallas, Texas, saying, call me and I'll alloydial title your house. Right? Like, this is nonsensical. I'm sorry. It's show me where Bill got his alloydial title. The county of what's its fuck said, Bill, you owe us fucking money and we're taking your fucking property. And Bill said, fuck you, and went to court. And the judge said, you're right. Bill has an alloydial. Show me that. It doesn't exist. I'm sorry. I'm with Nicole. I want that to be true. And if it was true, then I would do it. Or the guy about the PMAs, right? PMAs have some power, but there's certain things you can't do with them. And the main guy everybody points to, he went to fucking federal prison for like 8 years. I don't want that. Federal prison sucks. I mean, I haven't been there, but I've had people tell me about it. I don't care. I don't recommend it.
0 out of 10 stars. Do not recommend. John can tell us. Yeah. The alluvial title. Well, it's kind of like the Constitution, right? The Constitution has some rules we're supposed to follow. Do we follow those rules? Mafaka.
I love the people who think you can lecture a cop on the Constitution on the side of a road.
I love the videos. I love watching those videos.
Yeah. Well, and don't get me wrong. There are times where you are right and you can stand for your rights. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the guy that, like, he's driving down the road with a fucking notebook piece of paper that he made his own driver's, not his license, his license plate with. And he has his little thing that he wrote up for his own identity. And he's explaining to the cop, you know, in Mayberry versus Madison in 1721, like some stupid shit like that. And you're like, yeah, you know what? That cop doesn't give a fuck. Even if you're right, he doesn't give a fuck. And you are going from a ticket to having your car towed and go to jail. That's all you've accomplished that day. And I do enjoy watching the videos.
They do seem to let a lot of them go. I think it's just close to shift change,
like,
and they don't want
to deal with the paperwork.
They're like, we don't want to do the paperwork.
What usually happens is they cite them, and the guy says, I refuse to sign the citation, and the cop just, like, throws it in his window, and, like, that's another one of those things. Like, well, since I didn't sign the citation, that's not how that works. You know, that person, what's going to happen is they're going to get a letter next year, and it's going to say you've been selected for free tickets to the Super Bowl. And when you show up to get your tickets, they're going to arrest you, or you want a free boat. I love those two. Those are fucking hysterical. You look at the line of people and you go,
oh no,
man, most of y'all even know each other. Like, shouldn't y'all be like right at that point when you're waiting to go in the door and you're like, I'm getting a boat. Like, everybody looks around and goes, boy, we all look kind of like from the same place. Maybe how many people want a boat? I don't think I want my boat. No, they go right through that fucking door, don't they? Right off to jail.
They did that in San Diego.
Shit, like traffic warrants and shit.
They picked up hundreds of people at a time. They do that in San Diego. Free Padres tickets at the stadium.
It was lined up. It's just, yeah, right through that door.
How do people not cop to that?
Well, and nobody comes back out the door once they go in.
Well, they had right? the jail.
You look out the window and there's this line of people going into a paddy wagon. Yeah.
Yeah, they had the jail buses on the other side of the stadium.
Good God.
Yeah, but it seems like that happens one time, and the next time you get free tickets to something, you're not going to go. Nope.
Don't go
nope,
back.
I don't cop to.
Yeah, but
and
the other.
They still do it, and I remember it going on in the 80s. I remember being on like local news when they did it, and I'm like.
The next guys didn't get the memo, and just think, every one of them had a warrant. Most of them had to know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think you would have got one without a warrant. I don't think anybody actually got the boat, did they? Or the Padres tickets or whatever?
No, they all went to jail.
They're allowed to lie to you.
Is Ed McMahon back there?
Oh, God, Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon.
There was a time where I thought I had a chance. The Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes.
I remember John Stossel did a thing on that in the 80s, on 2020, and he asked this one guy, and the guy said, let me put it to you this way. Nobody, you're not going to win. And nobody you know is ever going to win. And nobody that you know that knows somebody that knows somebody is going to know somebody that won. In fact, the odds of all the oxygen disappearing from this room right now and both of us dying are higher than you winning the, you know, Ed McMahon sweepstakes. What is it? Publisher's Clearinghouse?
Yeah.
And so John's like, well, this can't be that big of a fake out. So they started trying to find people from prior years that were on TV with the big check. They couldn't find a single person who actually won it. That was straight up fraud, right on your network television in the 80s.
But they sold magazines.
But they sold some fucking magazines, right? Oh, did you hear about the new EO? Trump is going to go after all. Doge is going to go after all the people that didn't pay Columbia House for their CDs. We're all.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
And Encyclopedia Britannica.
Is that still a thing?
I don't think so.
No, but you can buy them used.
Is Columbia House still a thing in some way? Like
I don't. Well,
can't be.
If only there was a tool at my fingertips.
Yeah, I'm going to find out.
That's why I spelled Columbia wrong.
ColumbiaHouse.com. Oh, my God. They sell books?
As recently as 2024, they were selling something.
Select DVDs for $11.95 to get started.
Get your first two DVDs, $9.95
each. $9.95
each. They didn't go out of business. We didn't put them out of business, Jack.
Wow. I would have thought they would have went out of business just from how many CDs I got for free. You know? There it is. Columbia House is still in business.
Yeah, but they've
we should shut
on.
Up. They're going to come get us.
If it's 99 cents, you're having to put in a credit card, and then you have to cancel after the fact or something.
Yeah, that scam won't work anymore, will it?
Yep. I think we were all under 18 when it happened anyway. I feel like there's a...
My dad
you have to be
it.
Over 18 to enter into a legally binding contract sort of situation. I think you'll be okay, Jack.
My dad wasn't. My dad, like, he would get anything he could for free. He made up hundreds of names. Like, he had J.P. Hawkins, Henry Long Rifle. And when they would call and ask about it, he'd be like, yeah, that fucking Henry, he owes me money, too. If you find him, you tell him he owes me money. He used to rent a room here.
Bonnie Blue says Columbia House still owes me CDs.
Oh, wow.
Well, and think about the counter push because the CDs have rotted and no longer play in many cases.
Is that true?
And do they have to replace those?
Is that true? CDs fail?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah, that's a big drama right now. People are like pulling out their CDs from the 90s and they don't work. See,
I don't have any CDs anymore. Like once I realized I could so the first thing I did was I digitized all my own CDs. Like you throw them in the computer and you like did that. Then remember LimeWire? LimeWire came out, it's probably the oldest motherfucker that was actually willing to use LimeWire and fucking just wrecking computers with it. But like it was like, oh, I can get anything I want, including things I can't buy, like bootleg copies and shit. Like I had one that was like with some song by YouTube, but Bruce Springsteen came up on stage and played the guitar in it and shit. And it was like, oh, I ain't buying anything ever again. And then of course what happened? We digitized everything. We came up with subscription services, and now I pay for my music again. Just very, very little. You realize that we're paying less for a monthly subscription to listen to anything you want right now than a fucking CD cost in 1988.
Do you see the thing about, I saw something this morning, Kindle is changing you no longer own the books. So the when you rent a Kindle book, you cannot put it on other devices any longer.
Huh. But yeah. The app does that. The Kindle app itself does that.
I don't know.
You can access your Kindle books through the app, but I think what John's saying is you can't copy the actual ebook file.
I don't know that you ever could.
Yeah, you could.
Really?
Because then you can have like a backup library.
Yeah.
In case you don't have access to your Kindle library.
Yeah. That just reminds me I got to bring
my Kindle is currently in the center of Jack's guest bed.
No, it's on the dining room table and it's propped up so I can't forget that it's there.
In April.
Because there's like another month to go and I will totally
I'll remind you before you.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, we should pimp that right now, right? Like you got a few tickets left.
I have 4 tickets left to the Spring Workshop here. And Alan Booker's going to be here for 2 half-day sessions. Jack's going to be here doing compost and biochar and being cool. We've got Emily Zanotti coming in to talk about urban food activism or urban homesteading. And if you don't know who she is, she's actually kind of not somebody that's been tightly in our network, but I used to work with her in libertarian public policy. Really sharp lady, and she moved to Nashville and just turned her whole backyard into a food producing paradise, which is pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So definitely come on up there. Yeah, we're going to be making some biochar in a Weber kettle grill. We're going to
test it out. It works.
We're going to build a bioreactor and make some of Nicole's biochar worth using by sticking it in the bioreactor. And I've got something coming up this week, and you don't have to go anywhere. All you have to do is sign up. Thursday at 1 p.m., I am doing a Biochar 101 Secrets for Thriving Gardens and Farms webinar in conjunction with Price Pottinger. And you can show up and I will be there and Nora will be from Price Pottinger will be co-hosting it and we'll be doing like about 40-minute presentation. She'll do some interview questions and there's like an hour for audience Q&A. And all you got to do is sign up for it. And if you go to the Survival Podcast right now and scroll down, do you see that picture? That's how you get there.
For those who don't know who Price Pottinger is, tell us, Jack. This is an important
Dr. Weston A. Price did an incredible amount of research at the very beginning of the last century, traveling all over the world and interviewing indigenous people and finding that they had almost – he was a dentist. They had really great teeth, even though they didn't have any dentists. They were really, really healthy, even though they had almost no medical care. But it was like not just that they were healthy, like their bone density was high even when they were old. They had no instances of osteoporosis. And he looked for commonalities in their diet. And this might be the southern tip of Africa and, you know, someplace in Asia and someplace in South America. So they were obviously eating different things. But the commonalities were their diets were zero processed foods. Their diets were high in meat and fat. And a few other things like almost every indigenous society has a foundational food element that's fermented. And so he made this incredible book that people still buy and still read. And Price Pottinger, Dr. Pottinger was like his co-researcher and it's like their conservatory. It's like all of the data, all of the collection, probably all of the money donated over time is all managed by Price Pottinger. And to me, if you've heard of the Weston A. Price Foundation, the Price Pottinger Foundation is much more in line with the actual work of Dr. Price. Sally Fallon used to work for Price Pottinger, and they threw her out. And now they get along. She has the Weston A. Price Foundation. They have Price Pottinger. But Weston A. Price Foundation is a lobbyist firm. It's on K Street in D.C. And they did that because initially, like, they get along now, but initially there was conflict over using the name that way. Like, you're not them. And she wanted to go her own way, and now they all are copacetic. But I am a member of Price Pottinger. I am not a member of Weston A. Price. I'll leave it at that.
So Amanda sent me a link to a 2-hour YouTube video from the PBD podcast last week, and it was titled The Real Reason You're Dying.
Oh.
And they were kind of drilling down on diet and, like, what supplements do work versus don't work. But one of the things that came out for the centurion, like people who live a century, that really helps is it's not so much the food you're eating, but they were on a 100% whole diet, whole food diet. And then they had strong community and they kept their mobility into old age. And one of the things that kept them mobile was people who live on really steep hills.
Okay.
Like, we're going to church every day, up that hill and down that hill. Really fascinating. A pretty deep dive into hydrogen water, too, which is something I've been just learning more about because I have the Kangen water machine. But, yeah, that was actually a great recommendation from Amanda. I'm really glad she sent it to me. But
that's Gary Brecka.
Yeah.
What's his name? Lawton, Jeff Lawton, when he was asked about longevity, it was very much the same, but with an add-on kicker, and that was, if you really want to live a long time, don't go anywhere. Stay where you were born. Live there. Get bit by the bugs that are there. Get the dirt that's there on you. Don't travel and stay where you're at and then eat well and all of that. And he's like, those are, if you look at all of the really, the people that live like super long, they never go anywhere. And so their bodies become amazingly adapted for the biome that they're in, and they're not exposed to, you know, things outside of that. So everything that can attack them, they've actually built up lifelong resistance to. I don't know if there's anything to that, but that I do. When you said that, I remembered one of his PDCs, him saying that.
Well, it was definitely worth the 2-hour and 10-minute investment. Crunchy Mama Farms wants to know, which holler roast would you recommend? Go with Wagyu steaks and duck eggs. Any of them, but if you want me to ship you some Rwanda, I just got the new season in of that, and it's got some deep chocolate caramel flavors, so just email me and we'll get it set up.
I should probably mention that too. So next week I'm at Crunchy Mama Farms and we're doing a beef processing workshop. It's like $900, but wait, there's more. So it's 18 students and I'm not one, so I'm not taking a share of it. I'm there to help them. Each team of 8 is butchering a cow by itself. And then some of that meat gets used for some meals, but obviously 2 cows is a lot for 16 people to eat. So every student is leaving, you know, bring your cooler and you'll leave with about roughly 50 pounds of grass-fed beef. In addition to having this 3-day workshop, which is going to be awesome. And Chef Ken is coming. He's going to be doing some adjunctive things with cooking. You get to meet my grandson. He'll be there and he's going to be hanging out with me for 3 days. It'll be a really great, great time. And it's not far from, if you know where I'm at, it's about 1 hour north of me. It's like 1 hour and 5 minutes north of here.
Yeah. They had 4 seats left earlier this week, right?
Yeah. I think that's where they were at this morning, but I don't know how often they update the website because it's clearly manual. It's not like some kind of thing that is actually like,
it's not a shopping cart.
Yeah. It's they have to change it whenever they want to change it. So.
Gotcha.
But hey, you know, if more less people come, that's just more grass-fed meat for everybody. But I mean, they said they usually sell out, like the last tickets they sell out are always like a week out, you know, as it gets closer. So there should be a lot of cool TSP people there. I do know Hogeye Harry will be there. He's one I'm sure of.
Yeah.
And then me. I mean, I'll get to come hang out.
Can you hang out with Jack?
It's worth $900 to hang out with me for 3 days.
Isn't Ken tasting some bourbons?
He's bringing bourbons, yeah. He's doing some other cool shit, too.
Even though he's all in on carnivore?
Yeah.
Or ketivore?
Yeah. Tasting bourbon and drinking are different.
True.
Well, they can be. They're not always different.
They can be the same, too.
I did a competition one time. I tasted over 100 bourbons and scored them.
And you spit out, right? Because you can't.
I didn't spit out, but it was such a small amount of each one. I barely had a buzz when it was done. I don't believe you can accurately judge a bourbon by spitting it out like a French does wine. I think you have to swallow it, but it was literally like minuscule sips, and it was several hours to do this. And the day before we did beers, I was more lit up tasting beers than I was tasting bourbons because you drink more of the beer. I mean, the bourbon was this tiny little amount we would taste. I'm still not doing that again.
Yeah, Tom, you're thinking what I was thinking. I'm just going to leave that right
there. Yeah, don't do that.
Well, guess we're coming up on 2 hours, guys. You want to wrap up? Anything else you want to bring up before we roll?
I got hats, but I'll do that for my around the horn.
Okay, do your hats, Jack.
I have hats. I don't know exactly when they're going to be in the swag shop. I hit Tom up this morning about this, but we have a whole bunch of new hats going into the TSP gear shop and they're badass and you should totally check them out. We've got them in different colors, different designs, what have you. And I think they're all awesome as shit, especially the one I'm wearing. So check out tspswag.com and maybe some tomorrow. Today, tomorrow, I think. Okay, that's what Tom says. Today, tomorrow, I think. I'm not really sure what that answer means, but
that means he has a schedule.
He has a schedule. But you want to get one of these and show off your TSP pride.
All right. John, what do you got for us today?
SOE Tactical Gear is the website. On my YouTube channel, SOE Tactical Gear, I do a live every night. And then we got a bunch of videos we put up every week. Lately, we've been doing how to sew products. If you want to learn how to sew, if you don't know how to sew, if you do know how to sew, we break it down multiple camera angles and show you exactly how to do what we do.
All right, guys, I want to talk about something that has nothing to do with self-promotion. About 2020, 2021. Some of y'all put on the accelerator to make your life better, to build your homesteads, to start building value, to start transitioning from having a job into running your own business. And a lot of you made some good strides forward. And then Donald Trump was elected.
Mm.
And the accelerator has done this. The fastest way you'll get to success is to keep rolling and keep rolling as hard as you can. Don't give up just because a passing political thing has happened. There's still a whole world out there for you to build and a lot of value that we can bring, whether or not somebody is president. So don't take your foot off the accelerator. Keep going and go every single day. We'll see you next month. Make it a great week.
See you guys.
Run you round. They said you should have a house the American way. Dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.